We are all still standing. I'd like to offer our scripture lesson for the sermon from Matthew chapter 25. I'll be reading verses 14 through 30, Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon our reading and hearing and application of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You through Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, and we have before us Your Word, living and active and sharp, discerning our thoughts and our intentions. Spirit of God, be present among us. Grant us appropriate conviction and our necessary acceptance, for we bear the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, grant us ears to hear, hands and feet ready to obey. We pray this through Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said. Amen. Amen. From Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14. For it is just like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his ability, and he went on a journey. Then immediately he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received my own back with some interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Everyone in this room and everyone who is hearing the words of this message, even the words of the reading of that passage, everyone knows that a day of reckoning is coming. There's a question. What if the Lord called upon you right now, to give an accounting for all of the good gifts that He has provided? What if the Lord called right now and said, give me an answer? All the good gifts from His bounty. What about the weather, the food, the sunshine that shines upon all, the friendships, your family, the memories, His mercies which have sustained you and we are quick to ignore or forget about? What about His grace which sustains you that we are quick to just assume belongs to us? What if the Lord called upon you right now to give an accounting for all of His good gifts? What would you hear? Would you hear words of reception? Well done, good and faithful servant. Or would you hear words of rejection, where the Lord addresses the sin and then stops speaking to you and says, cast away, cast away? We come to the parable of the talents today. Parable of the talents. The beginning of Matthew's gospel, Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount. Now toward the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus is giving this, the Sermon on the Mount of Olives. So we're coming close to the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount of Olives, and he presents three parables. This is the third of the three parables that our Lord has presented. The first one was the wise or the wicked servant. The second one was the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. And now we come to this, the parable of the talents. And this too is a likeness of the kingdom of heaven. Verse 14 begins with just as, for it is like this. And it's to pick up from Matthew 25:1, the introduction to the parable of the 10 virgins. For the kingdom of heaven is just like this. This is a continuation of the likeness of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Here's another likeness. Just as that, so also this. A man, a master, a lord is going to travel to a far country. We learn that in verse 14. Verse 15 says he's going on a journey, and we find out eventually in verse 19 that he was gone for quite a long time. But before he left, he delivered his goods. He entrusted his wealth to his own servants. His own servants. These goods, this wealth, they are called talents. Talents. The Greek word is talenton. The word talent in English is actually what's called a transliteration. It's literally transferred from that language. We have it also with baptism. The Greek word is baptizo. We have the English word baptism, or to baptize. Our English word talent comes from this particular Greek word, talenton. A talent is a biblical unit of measurement. It could be of weight. It could be of volume. Here, it is of wealth or worth. A biblical unit of measurement. Verse 18 in our passage actually refers to it as money. As money. It's a form of wealth, of exchange. So just how much is one talent? One talent. Well, suggestions are all over the map. I'd like to give you a few and let you do the calculations, but don't get too distracted from the flow of the parable. A talent. Estimates, some suggest that just one talent is the amount that a laborer could earn in 15 years. Others have suggested that just one talent is the amount that a laborer could earn in 20 years. If you have one of those fancy study Bibles, there's likely some note there. The point is, it's a vast amount. One servant received 5 talents. Another servant received 2 talents, and one other servant received 1. No matter how you slice it, it's a vast amount. So the master calls 3 servants, and he gave them, the first one 5, the second one 2, and then another one 1. Verse 15, to each of his servants he gives talents. And by the way, our English word talent, which usually refers to a gift or an ability, it's related to this particular Greek word because this is something that is given. It's something from outside of you, and it's something that you're supposed to be responsible to employ, to use. So we have that idea in English as well, that a talent is something given, and you're supposed to be responsible with it. And we tend to think of a talent as an ability or a capability, But anything that's been given to you, it could also be time. It could be an opportunity, anything like that. So to each of his servants, he gives a talent. He gives gifts. He gives portions of his wealth. And he does so according to the ability of each servant. No servant could say, I couldn't handle this. I didn't know what to do with this. He gives according to the ability of each. And then he departs. The master goes on a journey, and we find out in verse 19 that he was gone for quite a while, quite a long while. We don't have any idea how long he was gone, just a long time. And then when the master returns, there's a reckoning, an accounting. Verse 19, take a look at verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. As we began this sermon, I remind you now, you know this is coming. Everyone in here knows that a day of reckoning is ahead. Romans chapter 14, verse 12, so then each of us must give an account of himself to God. You must. But we find out in this parable, as we have found in each of the parables that have preceded it, that there's a delay. There's a delay. Each of the last three parables includes some delay. The parable of the wise or the wicked servant, the parable of the 10 virgins, and now this parable of the talent. There's some delay, some time frame between the time that the words were given and the events of which the words referred were fulfilled. Words were given, and then there was a waiting. Words were given, there was a delay. And by the way, we see things during delays. Everyone in here sees things. And if you have the honesty and the humility to look in the mirror, you'll see things about your own life during a delay. What about these three parables, though? The wise of the wicked servants, they were known by how they acted during the delay. The wise stayed faithful. They tended to the table. The wicked started beating others, those closest to them. And what did the wicked do? They had a defense ready on the lips. Oh, my master is delaying. You find out a lot about people during a delay when time isn't going your way. In the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish, we find out during the delay of the bridegroom's arrival who was wise and prepared, who had planned ahead. And yet what happens when the bridegroom shows up, there's the call that comes out, come out, the bridegroom is arriving. The 5 wise arise, their lamps are ready, they have extra oil in their vessels, but the foolish, what do? They demand of the wise, you give me some oil. You find out a lot about people during a delay. And now in this parable, this man, this master, this Lord will go on a journey and be gone for quite a long time, a delay. And what does this show? The delay is actually a gift. It's another gift. It's not just the gift of the talents. It's the gift of time. It provides them with plenty of time to consider, to plan, and to get to work. How many of you in this congregation, when we have been discussing various things going on in life, have I said to you, time is a gift. Receive time as a gift from God, and let's consider wisely what we ought to do. Well, here we are in the parable of the talents. Time is a gift. And a lot is revealed during the delay. So in each of these parables, there's a gap of time, a delay, and faithfulness is revealed during the delay. Gaps of time are revealing, so with a nod to our dear friends in London, I will say it's important to mind the gap. By the way, recently, have there been any time frames or gaps that have thrown you off? Have there been any time frames or delays that have troubled us as a congregation? As we reflect back as to what's gone on in 2020 with the coronavirus, there have been delays There have been time frames. There have been gaps. And as we've been stating the entire time, faithfulness has been revealed during such gaps. Delays happen. Our Lord is always righteous, and we are called to faithfulness. By the way, gaps, time frames, delays are part of life. Consider our children. By the way, I love the parental labors, even now, tending to children, because we are considering the time frame, the gap, or what could be considered a delay until adulthood, till further maturation. Parental faithfulness is seen during those times between, those tweener times. God has given us this time. I recall when my daughter was very young, Denise and I were with Pastor and Mrs. Booth, and I was thinking about this precious little girl, and I made a comment to him. I said, right now, with her being so young, so small, such a wee little girl, I'm just trying to wrap my mind and heart around giving her hand in marriage. And he said, this is why the Lord in his goodness gives you the 18, 20, 22, if he desires her to marry, he's going to give her the 18, 20, 20, however many years it'll be to prepare her for marriage, but the Lord's going to give you that time to prepare you as well so that you may help prepare her. Also with churches. Churches have time frames or gaps, and we're required to be faithful in tweener times, in the between times. And so often we're thinking, how come not now? How come not? We're called to faithfulness, and sometimes that means receive the Lord's timing, and we want to behave wisely as churches even grow in maturity. We see delays in these parables, and faithfulness is revealed, or unfaithfulness is revealed during the delays. In verses 16 and 18, we find that the servant who received 5 talents earned 5 more. He has 10. The servant who received 2 talents earned 2 more, has 4. There's change, there's transition. But to the servant who received 1 talent, no addition. And he stayed with 1. There was no positive change, no beneficial transformation, no difference other than a difference of deadness, the same. It's as if the servant who received 1 treated it like a seed. I might as well just pop this into the ground. But the seed didn't grow in the ground. We just read the parable, so verses 19 through 27. Each of the servants, the one who received 5, the one who received 2, the one who received 1, will be addressed, spoken to by the returning master. By the way, it seems as if there's a weighty focus upon the third servant, upon the servant who received 1 talent. Well, let's take a look at the way that the master addresses his own servants. Verses 20 and 21, the one who had been given 5 talents came and presented those 5 and 5 more. And what does the Lord do? The Lord commends and commissions. The Lord commends and commissions. The Lord says this in verse 21, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master, or into the joy of your Lord. It's much the same with the next servant, the one who received 2, verses 22 and 23. Take a look, it's right here. You gave me 2. Here are 2 more, 4, they're yours, Lord. And the master does what? He again commends and commissions. His master says to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master, the joy of your Lord. This is the day of reckoning. This is the day of accounting. There was no avoiding it. They couldn't say, you know what, I've got something on my calendar that day. I'm busy. There's no avoiding this day. There are no other options. It is time to give an account. And by the way, we practice giving an account by giving an account during the delay. Today. The master who entrusted the gifts to you is going to ask you about what belongs to him. These are words, wonderful words of reception. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my joy. But the day of reckoning continues, and remember we mentioned there seems to be a heavy, weighty focus upon this third servant. The day of reckoning continues. The servant who received one talent now comes before his master. One talent, a vast amount. Incredible wealth, an incredible provision. And you know, there are more words to this exchange with this servant who received one talent than with the other two. I counted them up in the original language. There are 20 words that the Lord says to the servant who received five talents. To the servant who received two talents, there are 20 words from the Lord. The Lord speaks to the servant who received one talent, 33 words. A lot of print. Matter of fact, there's the master, the Lord, the one who owns the talents, he actually spoke first to the one who received the one talent, and then he turned away from that servant and had more words to say. A total of 83 words. 40 for the other two servants. 83 words. About the lazy and disobedient servant, and isn't this the way it usually is? There's more effort to deal with sin and disobedience. The greater mess. Foolishness makes great messes. Haven't we learned that? What does the third servant do? Well, he's disobedient and he's lazy. And you know, instead of taking any personal responsibility, what does the third servant, the servant of the one talent, according to his ability, what does he do? He defends himself. And then he blames the master. Defense and blame. Defense and blame. Verses 24 and 25. Listen to what this final servant says. The one who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So this is what I did. I knew this about you, so this is what I did. I was afraid. So I went and hid your talent in the ground. Never know who might have stolen it. And then literally at the end of verse 25 it says this, look, you have the yours. That's literally what the third servant, the one talent servant says. Look, you have the yours. Unfaithfulness always tries to change the focus, always shifts the blame. Oh, each of these three parables, there's blame in them. The first parable, the wise and wicked servant, the wicked servant defends his behavior. Well, you know what? My master is delaying. There's pre-blame, proto-blame with the parable of the 10 virgins. The 5 foolish virgins say, you know what? We don't have oil. You give us oil. You give us your oil. And if you don't, it's your fault. Your fault. And now this particular parable, you know what this third servant is actually saying? It's not me. It's you. It's not me, it's you. How many times have you been caught? Have you been convicted of something? You know what you say? You stand back, you defend yourself, and then you say, it's not me, it's because of this, because of you, because of what happened. This third servant is uttering lies. Let's take a look at the lies. Look what this third servant says. In verse 24, he calls the Lord the Master a hard man. The Lord the Master is not a hard man. He's not a severe, demanding man. What was given according to their ability. Zip the excuses. On the day of reckoning, we will have no excuse. None. What the master gave was for the good of all involved. He's not a hard man. It was according to the goodness of the Lord that he gave. He's not hard, he's good. And what the Lord gave to his servants is for their good and for the good of others. That's a lie to say, oh, you're a hard man. What else? It's also false for this servant to say that the Lord, the master, gathers where he has not sown. Or gathers where he has not planted. That's a lie. The Lord, the master here, is given in abundance, and he has a right with what is his own. These are his. What do you mean you've scattered where you're seeking something where you've not scattered? This is the Lord's. So a lie is present with this confusion. It all belongs to the Lord. It's not yours. Same goes, and Pastor Jeffrey brought this up so wonderfully Wednesday night during Bible study. Well, elders, servants, pastors in the church, it's not their church. It's Christ's church. It's Christ's church. Your children. They're not your children so much as they are the Lord's children. Time. It's not so much your time as it is the Lord's money. It's not so much your money as it is the Lord's money. And we get ourselves twisted into some pretzel of lie when we're thinking, oh, you know what? There's another lie here. This third servant also lies when he says that he was afraid. You said you were afraid, and so you hid the talent in the ground as if it was some kind of buried treasure? Here's where this is a lie. If this third servant was truly afraid of this hard man who gathers where he has no right to gather, he would have not spoken to him in this way. If you were truly afraid, you wouldn't speak so insolently. You wouldn't speak with the language of accusation. What this third servant does is he pretends to be more like Adam and Eve. I heard, you know, in the spirit of the day, in the cool of the day, I heard you in the garden, and so we went and hid ourselves. We hid. No, far less Adam and Eve and far more serpent-like. Language of accusation. You would never speak to the Lord this way. There's some more. The servant lies by saying, here it is, all of it, it's all yours. It was the Lord's the whole time. Next, all of this was a form of self-righteousness and an attempt to excuse his slothfulness and to criticize his Lord. And by the way, this is where personal disobedience is presented so as to discredit the Lord. As if the Lord has not provided enough for you. As if Simon Peter lied when he said, we have been given all things pertaining to life and godliness. And we're going to find out in just a minute, you know what the Lord does with the words of this third servant? He's going to use his own words to condemn him. Testimony given. Done. Before we get on to that, though, just a point of application here. I want you to notice something. Our doctrine of God, your doctrine of God, is seen in your life, in your conduct, in your behavior. How you view the Lord is revealed in your everyday labors. The first two servants, regardless of how much they received, were faithful. The Lord says, even over a little. Daily little faithfulnesses reveal faithfulness for the long term. They were marked by mustard seed faith and mustard seed faithfulness. Remember this, what the Lord has given, he will require. The Lord, the master now addresses this third servant in verses 26 and 27, and what the Lord does here is he punctures the lies. And what you need to do here is place the word new in air quotes, fake quotes. So here it goes, verse 26. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Here come the air quotes. You knew? I can use inflection. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, I gather where I have not scattered seed? This is what you knew? These are your thoughts? This is your theology? If that's the case, then you should have acted thusly. Our doctrine of God is revealed every day. If you knew this, if I really was a hard master, and by the way, after all of this, the Lord says, what you should have done then is, brought my wealth to the bank and a little bit of interest. Should have done something, but instead, no, you buried it. At this point, you know what the Lord does? The master stops speaking to the third servant. It's done. Enough words. He speaks to others. He speaks to other faithful servants, those who will follow the word, those who will follow the ways of the Lord. Weighty words to end the passage, verses 28 through 30. So take the talent from him. He doesn't even address the servant. He turns to someone else. Take the talent from him. And give it to the one who has 10 talents, for to everyone who has, more will be given. He will have an abundance. By the way, we heard this as well in our Proverbs 11 reading earlier today. Doesn't retain, doesn't hold back, but gives, and he will receive a blessing. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. He has not? What does that mean? There's no faithfulness, no diligence. It's going to be taken away. Cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We have, once again, a thundering finality. A thundering finality. As with the closing of the door to Noah's Ark, and as with the door that was shut at the wedding feast, this is final. There's no turning back. There's no undoing. There's no answering the knock or the claw or the scratch. So let's conclude. Parable is straightforward. Application has been throughout the parable. In this parable, we can easily see our Lord's abundant, his prodigal provision throughout the ages. First, initially in the garden. I give you all of the trees for food except for one. You're going to have that later. The Lord is prodigal and abundant in his grace giving. Here, it's all for you. Not that one. But also with Israel. What have our fathers in the faith been given? And this, by the way, is the immediate application of this passage to the context of the time. What were our fathers in the faith given? You could say, so much. Abundant. What opportunities? What responsibilities? I love the way the Apostle Paul, reflecting on his fathers, his kinsmen, in the faith, I love the way the Apostle Paul spoke of it. What has the Lord given to them, to the Jews, to Israel? This is what he said, Romans 9, 4 and 5. To them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. You have no excuse. So what has God given you? What has God given to us? So we cannot get away from this passage so very easily. We cannot close this passage. We can't just slide away from this passage and say, oh, yeah, those people. We cannot slide away from this passage and go, yeah, if you only knew the people I knew, they're this way as well. What about us? What about you? Can we see the greatness of our provision? Those of us upon whom the ends of the ages have come? Can we see this? The Apostle Paul asked, what do you have that you did not receive? Answer that question. J.C. Ryle phrased it this way, all that we have is a loan from God. We are God's stewards. We are God's debtors. Let this thought sink deeply into our hearts. So here's some more. Ask yourself this, have I ever despised the good gifts of the Lord? Have you? Have you ever not used the Lord's gifts to His honor and glory? What about your mind? What about your ears? What about the gift of sex? What about your abilities? Your opportunities? Your time? The Lord's time? The opportunities He has given? The abilities He has given? What about baptism? Have you sniffed at and despised baptism as something small and trivial? Or have you been like those returning exiles in the book of Malachi and sniffed at the Lord's table? What about the privilege of the Lord's Day, communion of the saints, one another, one anothering one another? With weight and sadness, I must confess that I have encountered this all too often. Those to whom much has been given, much will be required. It is as if for some Christ is not enough. The sovereign goodness of the Lord is insufficient. Or that the timing of the Lord is off. It's way too long. I don't want this particular suffering or difficulty. He must not be in charge. Perhaps the people of the Lord are too sinful. Or we conclude that the Lord is not working through one another. May such never be named among us as we grow into maturity. The Lord's gifts are abundant and they are gracious. And with the gift is the ability to pursue the gift by the Spirit of God. And as we pursue this and seek faithfulness, may the Lord beautify His church here, so that His name will be proclaimed among us and from us. In the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.